at 4:30 work session, regular meeting at 6, and in a council member's place, we have the mayor herself. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lori.
Everybody's busy this morning, and so
are
you.
They are.
I love the new feature, three things you need to know this week, you know,
that's
happening
right.
in Fairhope that you're putting out on Facebook.
Right.
What did you do on this morning?
I actually did it. We did it Friday.
Okay.
We did it Friday. So the three things that I talked about this week were, of course, we're going into Halloween. So we talked about the downtown trick-or-treat, and this will be the first year that we've actually closed off a portion of downtown for that event. If anybody's been, you know, there's a lot of ghosts and goblins running around downtown, and just for the safety of those kids, we felt that it was important to close some streets. So we're doing that. Streets will close from 9 to 12. The event's from 10 to 12. So, you know, just be aware of that if you come downtown. And then the other thing is the Witch's Ride on Thursday evening.
And Thursday, does that require street closure as well?
There's a small street closure for that, but nothing too large. We're going to try to let things just flow naturally with the police being there. It's going to start there behind Greer's, and then we'll have a route. And then they'll have their after party at the amphitheater
there
on Coastal Alabama's campus. So.
Okay. And getting back to the downtown trick-or-treat, that's just basically all of downtown. And the merchants that are participating have an orange pumpkin in their window
Correct.
Or on their door.
Correct.
And you just walk around town. There's not a particular route
per se. Everything kind of starts at the Welcome Center.
Okay.
You know, we'll be giving out small, you know, bags there for kids. And there might be some special characters in town. So you'll want to make a visit to the Welcome Center for sure.
To get a photo opportunity.
That's right.
Okay. And the Witch's Ride is not a city event. It benefits this year the Baldwin Humane Society.
That's
and
correct.
We can expect to see a couple of hundred women dressed as witches on bicycles. It's quite entertaining.
540.
No way.
Yes. So 540 registrants is what they had. As a matter of fact, I talked to them yesterday, so they asked me to actually start the ride. So I'll be out there in the middle of the street, you know, getting everybody started. So excited to have that back. You know, it's a great benefit for the Humane Society, but also I think a lot of people look forward to it.
And it's bound to be an economic boost to the city of Fairhope and the merchants downtown as well.
Right.
And that kicks off Thursday.
At 5:45.
At 5:45. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fairhope City Council meets at 4:30 with the work session. We have user fees charged by the City of Fairhope for the planning and zoning that's going to be discussed. Anything you want to mention there?
That's really just a pass-through cost. It has to do with the advertising fees that it costs us to advertise, you know, projects. We have to do legal notice, and that's basically going to be a pass-through cost. What we found is we'll do these legal notices, then people will decide to change their project, then we have to do them again. So it's pretty costly to advertise, so that's really what that is.
Is that in a newspaper still?
It is in newspaper still. You have to, by law, public notice in a newspaper of circulation in your county.
When you're going to do, say, a proposed zoning change
Correct.
Or anything like
Correct.
That? Correct. Okay. Discussion of accumulated concrete debris as surplus.
Yes,
that's
so
unusual.
This is, and I don't have my paperwork here in front of me, Lori, but I'll try to give you a brief synopsis. This is just about, you know, anytime you bust up concrete, you're able to use that for other things. And so Richard Johnson really wants to explore those options. So this is an opportunity for us to be able to look at that and to be able to be able to remove some of that from our area and send it somewhere else for recycling, so it doesn't take up room in our at our city facilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. After the work session, which could include some committee updates and department head updates, then y'all go over the agenda and the agenda meeting. And this is a very long agenda. Almost 4 pages.
I don't think any of them are short anymore, Lori.
I know, right?
That's right.
30,
a lot going on.
32 items, many of them, though, since y'all just recently passed the 2023 budget, it's just the formality to pass what's in the budget, right?
It is. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to pass the budget early, was to be able to purchase some of these things that, you know, are long lead times. For instance, I think we were talking off air a little bit about the garbage trucks that are on here. Those are a long lead time, so we know that we're not going to get those anytime soon. But to go ahead and get those in production is a, you know, pretty big thing to go ahead and get ahead of everybody else. So those are on the agenda tonight.
And those are not cheap. Two Cobra rear loader garbage trucks cost not to exceed $417,000.
Right. And I will tell you that that is actually a little bit, it's actually not a little bit, it's a lot over what we budgeted. It's about $60,000 over what we budgeted. And a little bit of that was human error, not going back and updating those budget numbers, but some of it is just inflation. If you look at this whole agenda, and this is something that I go down and do to see what's at bid, under bid, you know, over bid price or over budgeted price, we have about a $40,000 net in things that are over budget. So that's a lot. It's a lot of money, and we're going to have to make that up somewhere. And I think, you know, the departments are you know, they're aware of that. If you come in over budget on something, be sure to, you know, you're going to have to cut somewhere else. I mean, we don't have an endless pot of money, and we really want to hold people accountable, in particular our leadership team. So when I look at this budget and I see that there are things that are over budget, they absolutely know that they're going to have to look at other areas to cut.
And that's tough, like you mentioned.
It is.
We all know just by going to the grocery store how expensive things have gotten, but it's affecting municipalities such as the city as well.
It is. And there are things that are like $4,000 over, $3,000 under, you know, or, so it's just a, what we consider with these amount, with these large purchases, a little bit here and there, but that little bit here and there adds up. And again, we have to be accountable to the public. We have to be good stewards of our money. And that trickles down to staff, to letting them know that if it comes in over budget, you're going to have to cut somewhere else.
Is there still a rainy day fund?
There's still a rainy day fund, but again, that is for a rainy day, and we know we're going to have those. You know, we have over $8 million in that rainy day fund, but that is, you know, thing for like disasters or, you know, things that we know that we're going to need that excess cash for. So we do not tap into that rainy day fund for these kind of things.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's go back to the first page, final adoption number 8 of a medical cannabis dispensary within the corporate limits of the city of Fairhope. I know you've explained this before, but for those that may be going, what in the world? Why would Fairhope have a medical dispensary? Medical marijuana dispensary, could you just give us a summary of what you're doing and why?
I can. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if this passes or not. I know in the past 2 weeks since this was introduced that we've probably had, I would say I may have had 10 people reach out. And I know the council has heard from folks that are just not clear on what that medical, you know, cannabis dispensary looks like. A lot of people think this is the first step to approving recreational marijuana in the state of Alabama. We, of course, as a municipality, have no say in that. These medical dispensaries, cannabis dispensaries, are very regulated by the state. It does not involve, you know, people standing around smoking marijuana or anything like that. You have to be prescribed the medical cannabis card for specific diagnoses from a licensed physician, and there are only 12 of these dispensaries located throughout the United States.
The state of Alabama, not the United States.
It's across the state of Alabama. So, you know, I will remind people, these are vetted by their physician. The physicians are licensed physicians, that this is simply for people who need this medical cannabis for specific diagnoses.
And it's not even going to be smokable.
It is not smokable, no. You can do it, we'll have it like in a inhaler. There are suppositories. There are specific tablets, nothing that looks like candy or anything like that. So, I mean, it's very regulated. I would tell people to keep an open mind about this. You know, I don't know if it'll pass or not, because I know people are concerned. But again, make sure if you're going to oppose it, you have all the facts.
And would it also be accurate to say that you're adopting this ordinance in case one wants to locate
That's
here?
That's correct.
That doesn't mean Fairhope will get one.
Absolutely not.
And their surrounding cities are doing the same thing.
Correct. And Spanish Fort, Daphne has already passed it. Foley has already passed it. I will tell you, too, that it's very regulated where they can go. They can't go within 1,000 feet of a daycare or a school. We've talked about limiting that even further, where they're possibly only in, like, the medical overlay district, which will be out towards Greeno. They have to have their own ingress and egress. They have to have their own established parking. I mean, so there's a lot of rules and regulations put forth by the state. But again, I would tell people to keep an open mind, unless you've been probably personally touched by cancer, and understand the struggles that people have that are dealing with either cancer or anxiety issues, you know, things that these diagnoses that they've determined that can benefit from medical cannabis. You may not really understand the need that somebody has for it, but I would tell you to please educate yourself to know all the facts before you start opposing something like this.
Very good. Let's talk about number 12 on the agenda. I see a big number, $5,705,000. This is Restore Act for the Working Waterfront and Green Space Restoration Project. We've talked about now for a couple of years. It's just finally coming to be budgeted. Is that right?
It is. It's finally coming to be budgeted. And I guess, again, this is a grant. This is not money that will come out of the city budget. This is the Restore Grant. We do pay for these things on the front end. Then we're reimbursed. The reimbursement usually takes about 60 days. But, again, this project is still several months away from starting. But this is just another step in that process.
Okay. All right. Another big number, item number 17, a resolution to award to W.R. Mitchell Contractor for on-call contractor services for the Water and Sewer Department not to exceed $700,000 a year. Have we had this in the past?
We have. We approve this pretty much every year. The council approves this every year, and it's usually $500,000. But with the rate of inflation, we know that the cost of pipe and everything else is going up. So we are budgeting $700,000 this year. And these are for things like if you had a large water line burst that our staff can't handle on their own, or if you needed to relocate a utility that is outside of their normal operations of day-to-day, things that they just can't get to because of staff or whatever. This contractor is on call. We're able to call them and get them to help us with some of those larger projects.
So this isn't, for instance, when they were lining the pipes?
It is not.
Okay.
This is outside of that. For instance, right now, this contractor is working on relocating a utility line that at 181 and 104. That was underneath a turn lane. They had to go in and valve that off, and they have to move it to another area of the road. So this is the kind of projects that this company would do.
Larger than the scope
of
that the city can handle itself. Okay.
And sometimes it's not that we can't handle it, it's just that we can't get to it timely, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, in just day-to-day operations, you get really busy, you're limited on staff, and we're trying to, you know, up our staff right now, increase the number of staff members we have, but until then, you know, utilizing a contractor is a great way to make sure we're being efficient and getting things done in a timely manner.
Number 21, the annual 2023 flower plantings for public works not to exceed $117,000.
That is correct. And y'all will be happy to know that that came in under budget this year. $13,000 under the budgeted amount we had. So, you know, we have beautiful flowers and our staff does a great job. So I'm glad that we're able to continue that and that, again, they're being good stewards of our money and making sure we're getting a good deal on plants.
And it's always beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Let's see, number 24, that the City of Fairhope procurement of inventory for Neptune water meters for the Water Wastewater Department not to exceed $500,000. Seems I recall you said you're having trouble getting water meters.
We are, and that's one of the reasons we're doing this. Is so meters are part of inventory that we keep, that we stock all the time, but we're having to order them in small quantities because of the budgetary numbers. So we thought and they're hard to get. So we went ahead and bid them all at one time, knowing that maybe if we can get a larger order that we don't have to keep going back to the council and that we can just stock those in inventory. Because if somebody calls us and says, I have a shipment of 100, then we want to be able to go ahead and move on those.
And this is for water meters for residential homes?
Correct. For homes
and
yes,
businesses?
Yes.
Okay.
Small businesses,
okay.
Yes.
Number 27, did we talk about that on air or just off air, the garbage trucks?
I think we talked about it earlier on air. Yes.
Okay, we got that.
We did.
And number 31, 2022 lighting of the trees, stage, miscellaneous equipment and labor costs to Sound Associates for $12,500.
Right, and it's getting to be that time, Lori.
November 17th.
You see them out there lighting the trees now, so I'm excited about being able to do that again this year, too. And you know, holidays are always such a fun time here in Fairhope. It's beautiful, and tree lighting kind of kicks off everything, so we're really looking forward to that.
Yes, indeed. That is November 17th. To mark your calendar, then that Saturday night's the movie in the street. That Sunday is the Christmas open house downtown, and it just all kicks off.
It kicks off from there. You're right.
Very good. And we talked about the, did we mention your luncheon and Officer David Miller yet?
We did not, but I'm happy to talk about that.
Okay. So, real quick, I know you have an appointment.
Yes, I do. So, no, we recognize we had our annual employee luncheon when we give out our tenure awards for years of service for employees, and we were able to recognize Officer David Miller, who's an SRO and has been with the city for a number of years, as the Employee of the Year. David's just one of those people who, you know, just always has a smile, influences people, and just is a great mentor to our youth here in the community, and was happy to be able to recognize him. And I think it's obvious from the social media post, I think just the police department alone had like 900 likes and all kinds of comments. So David is loved, not only by the city employees and leadership, but also by the community.
Oh, yes. He's been around a long time.
He has.
As my kids were growing up, here he still is.
That's right.
And other than the employee luncheon, and that went great, there was one other thing I was getting ready to ask you, and it just slipped my mind. Can you think of anything else?
I don't think so. It was a busy weekend. We had Family Fun Tennis Day. We had the October Splash at the Master Swim Meet at the pool. Just busy. And this week, again, we have also on Saturday, we have the Drive Alabama Electric Charging Station event on Saturday, the 29th. That is going to be at the Civic Center. It's just a chance to showcase electric vehicles. And if people have questions about electric vehicles, they're going to be there. I believe it's from 9 to 4, Lori, there at the Civic Center near the charging station. So if you're interested in finding out more about electric vehicles, I would, you know, ask you to visit them on Saturday and learn more.
And briefly, now I remember what it was, the Church Street Infrastructure Project. Mm-hmm. You're crossing fingers, wishing and hoping it's completed by the tree lighting.
We are, and that is the ultimate goal. I think we will have to. Everything will be done by the 17th, if not sooner, weather permitting. And I do think there may be a little bit of paving left after the tree lighting, sometime maybe the week after Thanksgiving. But other than that, I think we're just tidying things up and wrapping things up on Church Street.
Good, very good. Thank you so much, Mayor Sherry Sutherland. And you're coming back tomorrow.
I'll be back tomorrow. So if you forgot any questions, let me know.
I appreciate your time so very much. If you missed part of this interview or you want to tell a friend, you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com.